I was thinking this morning, about a year ago, I got up and I jumped in my old work truck and was driving to work. And I got down to the Bersheba Street Bridge. And I looked up on the hill and I saw an ambulance coming, all lit up, sirens squalling. And I just did the normal thing. Since I got across the bridge, I eased over there where Jay's car lot is. You know, I just eased over. Was going to stop and let the ambulance go through. But when I eased over in the parking lot, I saw the ambulance go by, but I looked and I was still moving. And I couldn't use my right arm or my right leg. You know, the vehicle was still rolling, and I went all the way up a True Value, rolling like that. Two tires in the road and the two tires out, you know, in the safety spot there. And I went for probably 500 feet. And then all of a sudden, it's just like nothing ever happened. You know, I could use the brake. And I turned the wheel and got on the road, but it scared me. And I went to work, straight to work. And I told my boss about it because it's his work truck. And I said, I guess I need to quit driving for a few days until I can figure out what's going on. And, you know, I thought about that this morning. And then I thought, you know, that's the way the church world is. You know, my mind was sending the signal, but my arms and my leg, it just wasn't getting it. This one was, but these two on this side wasn't getting anything. And I thought to myself today, that's a lot how the church world is. God is the head. And I believe that God is still calling people and speaking to people today like He always has. And there's a few getting it. There's some that just ain't getting it. And the church world's all screwed up. You know, I wasn't only a danger to myself. I was a danger to somebody else's property. I was a danger to every person I met that morning. You know, the school bus picks kids up right in front of where I was at. I could have killed a whole bunch of kids. Whenever we're not getting it from God, we're a danger to everybody we come in contact with. I see so much craziness in the church world today. I see people trying to clap and stomp Jesus into the service. I see people just trying to just be quiet and solitude and inviting Jesus into the service. I seen the Assemblies of God, I'll call them by name because I got friends there, having lost people come into the service and preach to them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They just something wrong with the church world today. We're not on the same level that they were in the book of Acts. Why in the world would a preacher stand behind the pulpit and preach baptism of the Holy Ghost to a lost man? I don't understand that. You know, I think I make a lot of people mad at the other church that attends here whenever I speak and in most churches I go to. But I don't really mean to, but sometimes it happens. But sometimes I wonder, are we really hearing from the head? Or are we just doing things because we've been trained to do them? Because Brother Walton told me to do it. Or Brother Anthony Wanamaker, or Brother Al, or somebody on TV, some preacher. Or are we doing what God said do? If we're doing what God said do, I believe the church would be just like it was whenever Jesus left it. Because that's the kind of church He said He's coming back after. He's coming back after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Holy and righteous. Is that the word? That's the word. But you know, you get to look it around today. And I don't understand what's going on. I see big hordes of people sitting in buildings. Every week, you know, going to serving God to some people is a time or two or three times a week sitting right here with you, Brother Walton. Did you know that? That's all they know. Just like tomorrow when the other church gets here, They'll be here tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and that's serving God. But Brother Al done spoke. What did Jesus say do? And then they'll be sitting here in their congregations all over the world. Today and tomorrow, there'll be congregations sitting in buildings, wondering where the people, why ain't they just coming? Why ain't they just pouring in? Whenever Jesus said to go, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house would be filled. You know, the Great Commission, I don't understand what people's expecting. When we don't do our part, why should we think that anything's going to happen? If we want the churches to be filled up, we need to go out and preach to people. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And how shall they hear unless they have a preacher? I see a lot of churches nowadays, and a lot of people. Oprah Winfrey on television is one of them. All these Hollywood people, all these ignorant people, devil people. This new thing, all roads lead to heaven. It's what all of them's teaching. It don't matter if you serve Allah. It don't matter Allah and Jesus and all them same people. What a crock. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is no other God other than Jesus Christ. You know, we need to be proclaiming that to people because people are mixed up. Everything you see on TV, everything you read, tells you that all roads will lead to heaven. But I tell people all the time, every road but Jesus Christ will lead you to hell. And that's just the facts of the matter. Jesus said, I am the truth. And He said, I am the way. And any man that try to come another way is the same as a thief and a robber. And they don't have eternal life abiding in them. There is no other God. All other gods are just idols. And we need to be out proclaiming this to people. I'm going to read you a little bit of scripture out of Matthew chapter 16. I'll start with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give it unto, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now listen what Jesus told him. But He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. As I was reading that yesterday, it really stuck with me how that most people I know savor the things that be of men. If you get up and you read the truth or you preach the truth to people, they'll get real quiet. You can hear a pin drop. But you can get up to most of them and tell them a little lie or a fable or some ignorant saying that some preacher come up with, and they'll dance in the aisles and holler and hoop. I see people all over America are searching for power. The kingdom of God is power. The kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And most people I know nowadays especially seem to be every iota of their attention and everything in their being is trying to receive power. It seems like everybody wants to walk on water. And everybody's wanting to raise the dead. And everybody's wanting to cast out devils. And everybody's wanting to do all these big spectacular things. Because they're powerful. They want to be powerful. The whole church world's in a roar about it, you know. Every show that you watch on TV, it's powerful. Boy, they'll call them down there and they'll do this and they'll do that to show they have the power. But not one time hardly will they tell the truth. You are sanctified through the truth. I don't care if you've ever walked on water, but do you know Jesus today? And the free pardon of sin today? If people would spend as much time trying to win people over to the Lord and reaping the harvest, the houses would be filled and busted over if they would spend as much time doing that as they would praying and fasting so that they can heal somebody in a service and get the crowd to look at them and say, boy, ain't Brother Walton powerful today? He's in the kingdom. He's been translated into the kingdom. Look at the power he has. Yet people all around dying and going to hell. Nobody visits. Nobody's giving them nothing to eat. Nobody's giving them a tract to read because they're too busy searching for the power. That's the majority of people. When Jesus said to go, go, two people. I know there's more than two of you that know that. Amen. Jesus said, go. And the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Sometimes we get cross-wired, Al. It's like when you're wiring a motor. You get two or three plug wires crossed up, it don't run right, does it? It'll pop, make a lot of racket, like a drag car, but it just won't run, because it's missing. The world is full of lost people. The harvest is truly ripe, but the laborers are few. Tomorrow I wished that I would hear them preachers over here get up and preach that. I wished I could turn on the television tomorrow and hear somebody preach on going and winning people, loving the brothers, preferring them, loving your neighbors yourself, and winning people over to the Lord. But the majority of what I hear tomorrow, whether it be in real life or on TV, I'll be, boy, if you could put $1,000 in the plate, you could have that sevenfold blessing. Sevenfold. They teach you that sevenfold blessing out there in Oklahoma. If you go to school there, you know all about it. I know two or three of them that went to the school. They sound just like the man that owns the school. And he makes no sense and don't know what he's talking about, and neither do they. There was a man came to Jesus. And he said, I want to go with you. You're the man. I want to be like you. I want to go with you. Jesus looked at him and said, there's something you probably need to know before you go with me. I'm homeless. I don't have nowhere to lay my head. I ain't got no food to eat. I ain't got a lot of clothes. I ain't got nothing. Just go sell everything you got. And let's hit the road. It's the only time he come to Jesus that I've read about. That was enough. He didn't want that. It don't say anything else about the man. Another come to him. Same thing, you know. Good master, what must I do? Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. And he said, I've kept them since my youth. And he said, well, just go and sell everything you got and give it to the poor. And he grieved him over it because he had much. I hear people say all the time, whether it be on this altar or any other altar that I've ever been to around, oh Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, make me like you. Lord, put a heart in me like you. All I want to do is the will of the Father. We say big things, but do we really want it? Whenever Jesus told them that, he was telling them the truth. The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. The birds of the air had their nest. Foxes had their dens. Sometimes when we go to praying these great swelling things that we think we want, it may cost us something in this world. You can't be a part of this world and a part of that world. You have to come out from among the world and be a separate people. So many people looking for riches and looking for power, looking for political gain, looking for earthly gain, any kind of gain in the church today. That's the majority of what you see and what you hear. It's just somebody wanting something. But I think what we're supposed to do is ask God what He wants us to do for Him. Lord, what is Your will for us today? It's probably how we should pray. Instead of give me. Lord, I need this. I need that. I need You to do this for me. Lord, what can we do for You today? He's the Lord of all things. He's the Lord of the kingdom. There's only one God. We're supposed to be His servants. But yet, I see even amongst the elite, I'll call them, that I know, I see turmoil just like it was with the disciples. You know, Jesus was walking one day and the disciples were behind Him. They were murmuring and trying to figure out which one of them was the greatest. You know, who's the most powerful? Who's the greatest? Who does He love the most? You know, who can do the most miracles? But He perceived those thoughts and He turned around. And what did the Lord tell him? If you want to be great, you need to serve. I believe the one that serves the most is the greatest. So many needs in the people of God, in the congregation of God, all over this world. But everybody wants to be a leader and they want to be powerful. They want to do all these signs and all these great miracles. But how many want to roll in at the old folks' home and check on the old people and take them some food or take them some clothes or run up down the neighborhood here in the valley and find out, just stop and find out who's hungry or if somebody needs something. Or come over and see if Brother Walton, if his heat's working or see if he's got groceries or clothes to wear. To go up and down the road and see if there's any elderly ladies that maybe need some firewood busted and stacked on the porch or in the house. Or go down three or four times a day and just stoke the fire for them because they can't even get it in the stove. You probably won't make it on a TV program by doing that. You probably won't have your own show on TBN. Man, it's quiet. That's the quietest crowd I've ever preached to, I believe. You probably won't go far in the world by doing such things. But when you're popular with God, you ain't going to be popular with the world. I heard a preacher stand up one time. This guy came to our church. Man, he was wild looking. I'm talking about he had a head of hair like a mohawk. Big old long-haired guy with all the earrings and stuff. You burn the strings off of a guitar. Holler and howl and go on. Well, he got to praying. He got to worrying about going to hell, and he got to praying. Well, in a few days, I seen him, and he didn't have no hair. He didn't even have as much as I did. And he was telling me about the Lord saving him. In a few months, he wanted to preach. He felt like God wanted him to preach, you know. And he preached a few times, and then over a few years, he was gone. A lot of people make fun of him. But now I heard him preach. Once or twice, and one time I'll never forget. I heard him stand up down here at the old Pearls of Christ building, the old wood one. And he opened his Bible to a scripture, one. And he was shaking and nervous, you know. And he read one scripture. And it's the one where it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the widows and the fatherless, you know, in their affliction and so forth. And then he stood and he looked at the crowd, probably 100+ people. And he said, anybody that knows where the Warren County Orphanage is, the Warren County Orphanage, raise your hand. I didn't know that I'd been had. And he just stood there and looked at us. And then I remember he looked around and he said, that's all I've got. And he sat down. And I like to run over and try to get to the altar whenever he was getting off the stage. What more could he say than that? You don't have to be an eloquent speaker to get out and tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to go to Oklahoma to learn, or no other state to learn, how to get up and tell somebody that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father except through Him. There is no other way. There's nothing greater you can ever do than go and tell lost people how to find Jesus. But you come into a church and the crowd will be hooked over and beat down and stalked around and beat up and tore up, and they have no joy, they have no happiness, and lost people don't even want what we got most of the time. Because we don't show them nothing that they don't see out in the world. What was that kingdom again? Joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Don't go to lost people and tell them your troubles. If you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer many things in this life. But God is the way through. He delivered the children of Israel. They walked in the midst of all that wilderness for 40 years. Heard Brother Walton say it many times. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes didn't get old. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing in the furnace. When the king looked in, he said, who is that fourth man? Looks like unto the Son of God. God is the deliverer. We've got to know that. But do not go to lost people and tell them how worried you are and how tore up you are and all your things that's going on. If you don't tell them anything, tell them that God is going to deliver you from situations in your life that they can see a difference in you. Everybody they talk to tells them all that trash. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they're looking for joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Whenever they lay down on their bed at night, they don't want to fear a dying and going to hell, but they want to meet the man that can deliver you from all fear and torment. That's what they need to hear, is about Jesus. But we sit in these groups, whether it be this group or the group that's here tomorrow or another group down the road some other day, we'll gang up in these little huddles and we'll call it a church, and we'll call it this and we'll call it that, but we wouldn't lift a finger to go out into the highways and tell people about Jesus. And I believe it makes God sick that we don't do what He says do. We'll keep the commandments of Jesus, or we'll die, we'll go to hell one day. It's just the way it'll be. If you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. A man says he loves me, keep not my commandments, is what? He's a liar. Revelations, what does it say about liars? That's right, they'll burn. Time is short. We're here. I feel good because I'm here in this refuge. I know about this refuge. God has showed me my whole life. He showed y'all when y'all come out in California or somewhere. That don't shock me. There's many people here that know about this refuge. And they feel good to be here. But there's supposed to be some more people here. A lot of them don't even know. Don't know how to get here. Don't know where things is. Sometimes I wonder if we're doing our part. we can reach out, and we do. I know both churches, and some churches up and down the road, they reach out a little, you know. They'll give an offering to a missionary somewhere. They'll do this, they'll do that. And that makes you feel good. You know, it makes pearls Christ good by whales for people. Somewhere, I don't know if it's Africa or what, they want to buy those, them people, pay them to go dig them wells for them people and have water. And that's good. That's great. But what else could we be doing? Instead of sitting 12 hours a day in a tree stand somewhere waiting on a deer. Or 7 days a week in a boat wearing a fishing pole out. There's a lot of things we can be doing. See, I don't know y'all's hobbies. I can't. They're not here today, so they won't ever know what I said. See? There's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself. I'm not knocking that. But we're here for a reason. We're here to tell people, to get people ready, to warn people about the things that's coming on this earth. You know, you can tell people. I had to go to DeKalb County preacher a while back. I had this weird feeling for a week. I thought, oh no, there's something crazy going to happen, you know. You ever get that feeling when you're going somewhere strange? Well, I had to go to a man's house. I got there, and there was already one man there. This man was raised up in a Baptist church until he was 15. And then the rest of his life he was raised up in Church of Christ. He told me that, and I thought, God, please don't let him talk to me and ask me nothing. You know? And I hate to be that way, but that's what I thought. And here's the first thing he asked me. He said, he got real serious. He said, are you the minister? I said, yeah. He said, do you think the Jews are fixing to rebuild that temple? I said, I don't really care if they build it or not. It don't make me no difference. Well, that was too much for him. What do you mean you don't care? You know, and here he goes quoting all that old craziness. And I said, well, buddy, it's like this. I don't care if they knock that big old temple that's over or down and build a nudding, because I don't believe God's going to suck his spirit out of this temple and just take it over and put it in a box with gold all over it with a bunch of cherubims on it no more. You need to get out and check your covenant. Say something wrong with your covenant if you're thinking along that line. That just opened up like a wasp nest, you know. It's sad to me that a man can be in church his whole life and not know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. And that Jesus Christ is my high priest. And he's standing at the right hand of the Father. The only one that makes intercession for me and you. Stupid don't shock me no more. I've been around too many stupid things and stupid people. I reckon working at the sheriff's department. You dread when people say that, don't you, Al? You think they're going to build that temple and stuff like that? Just pure stuff you just, you know. The world is full of craziness, what I'm trying to get across to you. People are deceived. There's so many seducing spirits out there. People don't know the difference between God's spirit and some kind of spirit of Antichrist. I'm talking about church people. I'm not talking about somebody over at the beer joint down drunk tonight. I'm talking about somebody be at church today or tomorrow. No biblical knowledge whatsoever. They have no understanding. And see, that worries me. Because who is your teacher? Who teaches you? Who taught you people this stuff? Y'all are smart. Book smart. It makes me nervous to come over here and speak, especially with the principal staring at me. But who taught you biblical knowledge? It don't matter if Brother Miller or the Eckert guy or one of them got up here and said anything. Still, that Holy Ghost is your teacher inside you. Brother Walton can say something all day long and draw his pictures here on this board and write it out for you, but without that Holy Ghost putting that in your spirit, because it's spiritually discerned, you won't even understand half what he's saying. So, that being the case, this is my opinion. The majority of people I meet that claim to be born again don't have the Spirit in them. Or they would understand the truth whenever it was spoke to them. Because the Spirit would bear witness that that's the truth and would teach them all things, yea, the deep things of God. But then when you speak ignorance to them, they'll, God, every hair on my leg stand up. You don't see it? All this ignorant stuff, you see? I know that when God's Spirit gets on you, it can make your hair cross. I know that. But not on a lie. God's Spirit will not bear witness with lies. Church world is messed up, people. We need to be praying. We need to pray for the people in this valley. They I don't know how many different doctrines just in this valley here. It is amazing to me. You can go to one church, and if there's 50 people there, 50 of them will believe different stuff. And I worry about that. I worry about what are people, are they not reading the Bible and just going by what Granny told them or Uncle so-and-so? I know a lot at Pearls of Christ Church. We used to sell, you could call it a Congregational Methodist church, actually, because most of the preachers that came the whole time it's been there were Congregational Methodists. And the one oldest one was Cotton Ross. He died the other day, but he'd been pastoring like 50 years. And he's a good man. Won a lot of people the Lord, but he's mixed up on some things. But I've noticed he taught it to his preachers that come out of his church, and they taught it to preachers that come out of theirs, and preachers and so on and so forth, and that's how you wind up with a lot of this stuff around here. It's just been passed down from men. It's teachings of men. And then I noticed the other day, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting up watching a show about Jesus on TV, like a movie. And Jesus had a basket of fish. This lady said, "This is all we got." And he looked, and there's just a few fish in that basket. And he looked, and there's people standing in a 20-acre lot, you know. And he held his basket up, and he said, "Father, bless this food. Bless these fish." That's all he said. And of course, you know the story. He pulled the basket down, and they fed the multitude and had extras. But that really went home with me, what he done. He held it up, and that's all he said. "Father, bless these fish." But yet, I'm hearing when we're praying for ourselves, or we're praying for some sick person, or we're praying over our meals, I'm hearing the same prayer that I've heard for 25 years. It's a lot of vain, repetitious things. But we don't know actually that we're doing it. It's just we've picked it up. And what I mean by this is, you can come tomorrow here, and I'll prove it to you. You can listen to some of the people pray here around the altar, or that pray out loud, and I can take you up on the mountain next week to a Congregational Methodist church or two, or maybe an Assembly of God somewhere, and if you listen, you'll hear the same exact prayers. The same words, the same tones, the same... And it ain't that they're trying to mimic one another, it's just they don't know they're doing it. It's easy for me to pick up on something. If Al says something I like in a sermon, you know, two or three things that I really like, wow! If I'm not careful, a month or two from now, that'd be my sermon. And somebody will be like, wow! Then it'd be their sermon. Do you see how it works? It's just like the measles or something. Just keeps spreading. But after watching that on TV and seeing how simple, and then I thought to myself, that really hit with me. He just blessed it. Bless this. And it was blessed. He didn't say, you know, some big long drawn out something you've heard all your life, you know, and just really get in there and tell God he's got to feed all them thousands. God done knows all that. Jesus a lot of times was just straight and to the point. But, you know, I told one of the preachers at church about it. And he said, yeah. He said that God had showed him that like a week before. And he understood exactly what I'm talking about. But I know if I mentioned it to the others, they wouldn't have a clue. Because they don't know they're doing it. And I have to watch or I'll still do it. I'll use words and this and that. Jesus, when he was teaching how to pray, he said, don't use those vain repetitions and all those things. And I believe that's what he's talking about. Because we pick that up sometimes not even knowing it. Y'all got one here too. I see something that y'all do, but I ain't going to say anything because I don't want to scare you. My wife knows what it is. Every one of you do something just alike. And it's good. You're worshiping God. But all you do it identical. I've watched you. See, now you're paranoid. You'd be thinking. What I'm saying is we need to have a fresh anointing. A fresh relationship with God. A fresh word. A fresh revelation. Your revelations are good. I read them all the time. In my little book I get every month or whatever. But sometimes I have to go out and pray and get my own. You know. It's a relationship with God. But we need to be showing people that we're different. It's good. Y'all are very different. Y'all are very different from all the other churches. But even at that, you still have to show people something different. You know, it's good that you live together and all that stuff. That's great. But still, you have to show them Jesus. Just living together, just doing this or that, that won't cut it on the day of judgment. Had a preacher come to me the other day. For some reason, when preachers get tore up, they want to call me, drive me nuts with their problems. But one called the other night, and he's just so confused right now. He's been raised Pentecostal type, an Assembly of God. He's been in the Assembly of God, different stuff. And he said, you know, my whole life, you know, I really sought speaking in tongues and prophesying and doing all these things. And like I told you, they want to see all these gifts, you know, all these big miracles. And, you know, you got to live it, you got to live it, you got to live it. You hear that every day of your life around here. You got to live it. But he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, there's a preacher down the road that believes no matter what he does, he's still saved. And he said, the sad thing to it is I can't tell no, that he's no less powerful than any preacher that I know. He said, there's no difference between them other than what the words they speak. And he got mixed up and he got into this big thing. And he's got him real confused now. There is a real bad spirit of confusion on the ministers now. I see it even in the other church that comes here. Every week, the ministers are attacked. They're just drove nuts with stuff. And then ministers all around this area are that same way, getting confused. And God is not the author of confusion. All He got to do is go by what He read. And He'll be alright. It ain't what you saw or what the Assemblies of God taught you or what the Church of God taught you or the Methodist or whoever. It's the Word of God. And sometimes you go through these times when you just ain't feeling so close and you ain't understanding. But you got to go by what you know until God speaks to you or shows you. And there's a lot of trouble with the preachers right now in this whole area. And we need to really be fasting and praying and lifting them up. Because the devil, evil spirits, whatever, seducing spirits, trying to destroy everything that God's wanting to do. But we can't let that happen. We need some people like the people when Peter got locked up. They went to pray and didn't let up until he was there with them. It's hard to find people like that nowadays. They've always got something to do. Always. You know, I talked to Joe the other day. We was down here eating dinner at the store. And I remember we got to talking about the scripture where he's talking about the children, lest you be like a child. When Jesus said, don't suffer the little children to come unto me, except you be like them, you shall not enter to the kingdom. And I told Joe that your whole life, you know, when you come into this world, you're a babe. You can't walk. You can't clothe yourself. You can't even use the bathroom, you know, like go to the bathroom, use it. You can't feed yourself. You can't do nothing. And you have to depend on your parents. But as you get older, you start learning things. And you start being able to walk, get your clothes on. Next thing you know, you can talk. You can feed yourself. You can go get your own water. You can do all these things. Then eventually you'll get to this level to where you don't need no help. You don't need mom and daddy. You don't need anybody. And we call that from being mature. When you reach that age, you've become mature. Is that what we call it? But there's where you start with God. You're mature, you're a loner, you don't need nothing from nobody. But then, whenever you get born again, you got to start going backwards. Because God wants to feed you. He wants to clothe you. He wants to show you how to walk. He wants to teach you how to talk. And you start, it's opposite. The exact opposite from everything He has taught your entire life. He wants you to depend on Him for your clothes, for your food, for your place of shelter, for your work. He wants you to depend on Him for everything. And that tears people up because they want to be independent. Because they've been taught to be independent ever since the day they got on earth. Learn independence. Except we become as a child and get back to that point to where we depend on God for everything. Life will be hard for us. Because God will be wanting you to do one thing, but you'll be trying to do it your way. Or you'll be comparing it to your natural life and trying to do something spiritual in the natural. And it just don't work out. Jesus loves us. God loved us enough to send His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. And you know, I was just reading that actually. John 3, 16, 17, and 18 down through there. Where Jesus, you know, God sent Him for us. But I look out over the congregations. Several people I come in contact with, and I see, I guess you'd say, a spirit of self-condemnation upon God's people. It's real bad in this area. It's like, people tell me, you know, I watch people, I know how they live, because I'm around them all the time. And there are some good people here that keep the commandments of God and that do God, you know, what God says do. But still, they feel beat down all the time, like they're lesser. There's people here that do that. If I'm not careful, I'll do that. You'll feel like that you ain't worthy to even speak to God. You're not worthy of nothing, you know. And all these things. And that, I believe that's a spirit that comes on people. And gets them all oppressed and depressed. And to thinking they ain't nothing. And to thinking that you're just dumb and everything you believe is dumb. And you're not getting no sense out of what you're reading anymore. And you know, your prayer, it just ain't going nowhere. I see that a lot in the congregation. But we know right opposite from that. We can go boldly before the throne of grace. You've got to go by what you know. You may feel like you're wasting your time by praying. But you know that you're not because you read it. Do you understand what I'm getting? I'm not a smart man with eloquent words. It don't matter if you feel like your prayer is getting to God. You've got to know that you know that you know that Jesus died for you and He's standing at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. There is one mediator between God and man. And that is who? Jesus. Mark these people. Mark them. That come to you every day telling you God told them something for you. That's good, okay, He might have. But not every day. I don't need another mediator. I have one. And He's standing at the right hand of God still today. Mark those people. Take my word on it. There's some crazy people in this world. These people just constantly hear God talking to them, solid all the time, just rambling. But yet everything they say don't make no sense. And it's unbiblical. One mediator. If you want to talk to God, who can you talk to that can get you in contact? Jesus. One mediator. Don't get into this thing to where you feel like your prayers ain't getting anywhere. And I know it happens. I've had it happen. I've sat there. You'll cry. You'll beat your head over whatever it is you're praying on. You just feel like the biggest loser in the whole world. It's just evil spirits trying to oppress you. Because we can do all things through who? Christ. There's one mediator, and it is Christ. You are the temple of who? The Holy Ghost. You are a son. You are a king and priest. You are a joint heir. What does that mean? I have to repeat this stuff to myself over and over to stay out of that state of mind. I am a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Anything that belongs to the Father that Jesus has access to, He died that you might have access to that, Brother Tom. It was for you and you. Anything you need, He done knows. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He is the King. If there's a problem in this world, it's not God, and it's not Jesus, and it's not the Holy Ghost. I assure you, their eyes are open, and their ears are open. If anybody has blind eyes and deaf ears, it will be the people of this world. But God's ears are open unto your prayer, and His hand is not shortened that He can't still reach down and pick you up if you'll trust in Him. All the big flamboyant miracles are great. I'd like to see some. But I'd like to see the rest of them seats filled. That drives me crazy looking at them back there. Somebody said, boy, that's a big old building. How many seats is in? I said, I don't have a clue. Most of them sit back there in the back, just wad it up. Who's it up to fill them seats? Is God going to come down here and fill them? Is Jesus going to walk through the valley again and tell you, come on with me, Jeff Hill, and I'll make you a fisherman of men, you know? He done did all that. It's up to God's other sons to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and be about the Father's business. Look out on the harvest, people. The days are numbered. If we're going to do anything in this valley, it better start getting done. I hear that at both churches, believe it or not. I'm about out of stuff to say. I agree, there's a lot of lost in the church. They've got to see the difference. If they're sitting there with a bunch of deadheads that's just like them, they'll never know any different. Come out from among the world and be a separate people. Don't sit there in your seat, beat down, feeling like God don't know you or God can't hear you. God knows and God hears. I heard a preacher say this one time, and then I'll shut up. This is pretty wild right here. This lady come to this preacher crying and going on, been her pastor for like 25 years. And she said, I just can't pray no more. And he said, you're one of my main praying people in this church. What's going on? She said, God can't hear me. She said, when I pray, it feels like the prayer don't even get out of the room. It just bombs right back down. And he said, well, next time that happens, you just stand up and cuss real loud. She said, what? I ain't going to do that. And he said, why not? She said, God will hear me. I'm not much on jokes, but there's a lot of sense to that one. If you think that God only notices the bad things you do, you're wrong. We get in that sometimes as preachers. We want to beat the congregation to death for every little bad thing that they might possibly do. If you ain't careful, you'll be doing that so much, you'll get in a routine of it. You'll just want to beat everybody to death every time you stand up. Then when you hear a preacher get up and try to uplift people, well, he don't know much. He ain't much of a preacher. And a lot of people in this area call it the anointing. If the preachers ain't up trying to beat the people to death and beat them into subjection, they're not anointed of God. That's messed up. What is God? God is love. You better fear the man of God if you've done wrong. The true man of God. I agree with that. But still, when people get up and they talk to the congregation like a dog and they just hammering them and smarting off to them and speaking old crazy stuff to them, that's not the anointing of God nor the love of God. Our pulpits are full of evil spirits and the preachers don't even know it. That's why you stay close to God and you read His Word daily. You read that word, you study that word, and you will know what is the Spirit of God and what is. But don't sit there in your seats. I say it a lot. Just beat plumb down. For the kingdom is yours. It's all yours, people. The kingdom is yours. I guess I'll get them to get out to get a song. If anybody needs to pray, this altar should be open at all times. I believe it even says that on it. And if you feel beat down to the point to where you just can't make it no longer, I've had about all I can handle and all these things, and it's like God's not hearing my prayer, you need to get all that under the blood. Get it all took care of today. Don't go home feeling that way. Don't go home thinking that God has got some kind of evil plague on your life. If you're His son or you're His daughter, God loves you. And everything that's His is yours. And you say, well, I'm not seeing any signs and I'm not this and I'm not that. Maybe some people asked Jesus to show them a sign one day. He said, the signs done been given. You know, it ain't all about signs. And it ain't all about these big wonders and miraculous things. The greatest miracle that you'll ever see is whenever that lost man comes up here that you've invited to church or that's kin to you, and they fall down on their knees and repent and cry out to the living God, and then they get dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ and come up here and white and clean and forgiven, and even the guilt of their sin will be taken away. God's people sitting in the beaches full of guilt. The devil, evil spirits will make you feel guilty over things you got forgiven of 20 years ago. If you listen to it, you'll be sitting there to the point of disgust. You don't even want to come to church. You don't want to hear Brother Al or your other preachers. You don't want to hear the songs. You're just disgusted with it all. God, I can't go no further. I believe I'm just going to quit. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I get that way sometimes. I've been that way. Peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. Power. You say, well, where's the power? Let's say you call fire down. There's all types of power, people. I've seen men that went through stuff that would kill any other man that I know. They would have just probably committed suicide. But they had the power to overcome through Jesus. I've seen people walking around with cancer, be healed of cancer. Nobody prayed except them. We didn't even know it. One of them was my friend. He prayed about a spot on his leg. And the Lord said, I'll take care of it. And 25 years later, he was walking through the woods with a rifle trying to shoot a squirrel. And the Lord spoke to him and said, lift your pants leg and look at your leg. And when he did, the spot was gone. He asked one time. That's power. He didn't call fire down on that squirrel. That was power. One time, 25 years, it was healed. Never a doubt. Man of faith. There's all kinds of power. Whenever you're sitting over here and your heat was out and you had the anointing on you and you thought the Lord will make a way and the Lord made a way for you. That's power. A lost person don't have that power. Some person that don't know Jesus don't have any power. There's all kinds of power. It's just we're hung up on all these big things we've been taught. This Pentecostal mumbo-jumbo stuff. It'll get you hung up. There's power in the blood of Jesus, most of all. And today, don't go home beat down. Don't go home. It's time that we get over all this. Get our heart right with God. It's time that the people of God have peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost like we did the day that we got saved, where you thought the whole world wouldn't hear what you had to say about Him. That's the way we're supposed to walk, is it not, Brother Al? And if I see you down, I'm supposed to do what? Stomp you on down? Or try to lift you up? Right over there it is, wrote down. I don't remember, I can't see it from here, but I know it's good. That's what it's all about. I would ask you to stand. Brother Al, y'all get you a song. Do you feel like you have the power to make it until the day that the Lord comes? Jesus is coming. He's coming. Do you feel beat down? Do you feel oppressed, depressed, compressed? Do you feel like you did? Whenever you got saved and you were so excited you couldn't hardly sleep. You couldn't sleep the day before because you thought you was going to hell if you died. And the next day you can't sleep because you're so excited you want to go to heaven. Instant, miraculous difference. When you believe on Jesus, though you were dead, yet shall you live. You cut away that old flesh of the heart to become a child of the King. A child of promise. Because you have a circumcision of the heart. I believe in all that stuff them other preachers. I believe in living right, as they say. But sometimes I look at people up here and I think, how much righter can you get? If you don't do nothing but read your Bible and pray every day, how much righter can be got? Or gooder, or whatever word you want to use. God is there. We just got to have the faith to believe in these things. Some people always want to show me their big works. But they don't have any faith to go with it. And then a lot of people up down the road want to show me their faith. But they don't have any works, so their faith is dead. I told a guy the other day, I don't believe that you can obtain salvation through works. And he said, that's right, brother. He's a total security preacher. I said, but I don't believe you'll obtain heaven without any. Because your faith will be dead if you don't have works. And he just stared me down. We ought to be showing people our faith by our works. I'll try to shut up now, let Brother Al and him sing. But if you need to pray, come on up and don't put it off. And let's pray for one another today. And let's get excited. It's getting closer now than it was before.